The sermon of the title today is The Gift. As a Christian, when we think of Christmas, we think about Mary and, of course, Joseph and the nativity and the birth of our Savior. But this year at Christmas, I want us to think about some things that we might not think about, but it is very vital to the part of the Christmas story. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 through 23. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In verse 23, we see the word Emmanuel, and it comes from the Greek rendering of two Hebrew words. Emmanuel means with us, and El means God. So now turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses, and listen to the words, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, stepped out of heaven, stepped off the throne to become lower than the angels in the form of a man in the flesh, to reveal to us our Heavenly Father, to our hearts and to our lives. Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll kind of build on this. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we read verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 7 again, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ emptied himself for you and me today. Jesus Christ incarnate, God in the flesh. Chili con carne, you've all heard of that, is what? It's chili with meat. Incarnate is God in the flesh. So when we look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we look here in verse 6, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. God gave all. His only begotten Son, so you and I could receive eternal life, so you could be reunited with your Heavenly Father because sin has separated us from Him. God gave all to save all. God, Christ gave all to save all. And I believe that we take this all too much for granted. People could say, well, God knew what he was going to do. And Jesus knew that he was going to be resurrected from the grave. So they knew what was going to happen. So because they knew what was going to happen, it's no big deal. Jesus went to the cross and he gave his life for you and I today. Maybe you know today that your child, or maybe you know that your grandchild today knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And someday they are going to be in heaven. And we're going to be reunited with them in heaven when we go there ourselves. So are you ready to give them up? And the answer is no. Are you ready to allow your child or your grandchild to be crucified for me? I don't think that you would be willing to do that. God gave it all when he gave his only begotten son. And it wasn't just Jesus gave his life, but Jesus took all of the sins of humanity with him to the cross and suffered the death of the cross for you and I today. So yeah, the Lord Jesus, he gave it all. He laid it all out. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we might be saved. That's why the book of Acts in chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved, only through Jesus. You must be saved. You have to. You've got to. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit is pleading through us. I'm pleading with you today that you must know Jesus or you will live eternal separation from God. To say that Christ stooped down to save man is an understatement. The Christmas message today is this. Jesus was willing to stoop down. And the message is to us, are you willing to stoop down? To humble ourselves. Are you willing to stoop down to praise God? Are you willing to humble yourself to worship God? Are you willing to humble yourselves before other people to see other people saved, to serve other people within the church? Philippians 2:7, there is a very interesting word there, and the word is bondservant, meaning you will serve no other, that you have bonded yourself to that person. Are we today, do we consider ourselves today to be bondservants to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we really more bondservants to ourselves and the Lord gets what's left over? And too many times, we serve ourselves. We have ourselves on the throne of our own lives. And we're so busy serving ourselves that we just give to the Lord Jesus the leftovers of what we have left. So no, we're not a bondservant to him. We're a bondservant to ourselves. In the church, we talk about agape love. And agape love means what? It means it's self-sacrifice. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's an other-directed love, denying oneself to serve other people type of love. But because we put so many restrictions around ourselves as far as what I will do and what I won't do, that really agape love is not really shown in the church. It's more of a philo or philo love is what you call it, which means what? Brotherly love. So we end up talking about agape love, but we never do it. To sacrifice ourselves. Let's be honest, most marriages don't experience agape love. And if they do, much of it is one-sided. But in a marriage relationship that you're willing to sacrifice, you're willing to give, you're willing to, it doesn't matter what you cost you to serve that other person, that you're willing to do that, of all things. As Christians, we should serve our spouse in that way, but many times we don't. It's still, we have those restrictions around us. If you meet this criteria, I will do this. If you do this over here, I will do this over here. And so much of that is in the body of Christ that we need to have that type of love that I'm willing to sacrifice to meet the need that you have in your life. To share that. Are you today a bondservant to Jesus that you will serve no other? If you are this church and everyone in it will see it, they will feel it, and they will experience it from you. I want to say that again. If you're a bondservant to Jesus, and when you're a bondservant to Jesus, you're willing to do anything to serve him and to serve the body of Christ. And when you have that in your heart, everyone in this church, they will see it, They will feel it and they will experience it. The love for Christ and the body will blow the doors of this church off. You realize that? When you go back to the book of Acts and you see that church, everybody had everything in common. They had a love for the body of Christ. And if we have that kind of love in this church and we maintain that and we focus on the love of the body of Christ, you know, so many times people are not so worried about your theology when they come in the door as they're worried about whether you love them or not, whether you accept them or not. And if you love them and you accept them, there's even things that maybe they don't necessarily agree with 1,000%, but because they feel the presence of God in a place and they feel the love of the body of Christ, they want to be here. And when we say that we'll blow the doors off this church, you will not be able to keep people out of this church, because people are going to be drawn to the love of Jesus and that love that is exhibited out of each and every one of our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, it's a story that many of you are so very, very familiar with. It's about the rich young ruler. In Matthew 19, verse 16, it says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what is good? What good thing shall I do that I have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." I'm glad, and you're glad today, that Jesus didn't say, "You know what, Father, I'm not going to do this. I've got too much to lose. I have too much to lose. I will not leave my throne to give my life for man." What restriction do you have in your life that you will not do for Jesus? Because that's the part Jesus wants. He looked at this young man and he knew what the problem was. He was caught up in himself. He was caught up in his riches. He was caught up in the things he had. I can tell you one thing that I used to have really struggle with is time. Because I pastored and I also worked full time. Time was so precious. And I would become angry over time. And finally I just said, "Lord, my time doesn't mean anything. My time doesn't need anything. I want to sacrifice it all to you. And I will give it over to you. To be that bondservant, to give that over to him. Am I perfect at that yet? No, I'm not." That's the part that Jesus wants. I woke up this morning and I was laying in bed and I woke up. It was about 1:30 or 2 o'clock and the Lord spoke to me. And I went right into the kitchen and I wrote it down because I knew if I went back to sleep and waited till morning, I'd never remember it. But this is what the Lord said. "They that hold the gift of Christmas hold the gift of life. Life abundantly today and eternally tomorrow." That gift is Jesus. I want to read that to you again. "They that hold the gift of Christmas hold the gift of life. Life abundantly today and eternally tomorrow. That gift is Jesus." John 14:6, it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know him? Do you hold the gift of Christmas? Do you hold the Christ? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just thank you, Father, for your word, because your word is always so rich. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you have done to each and every one of us. I'm sure that, Father, in each and every one of our lives, we could do a quick review and say, "You know what? I need to give more of this over. I need to spend more of my time doing this in my relationship with the Father." And I pray that in everyone's life, you would just review that with them, and as your Holy Spirit speaks to me, that your Holy Spirit would speak to them and draw them ever closer unto you. And that, Father, we would become more like bondservants for you. I pray for anyone in this room today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they're missing the true gift of Christmas, that they would respond to that today, that they want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for this time of this service, this part of the service, and we pray that you would bless it to our hearts and our lives, that we would not leave this service here behind us, but Father, we would take it home with us, and maybe over today or the days to come, we would do a review. And the things that are in our life that are just nothing but dross, that are keeping us from that intimate relationship with you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would review that to each and every one of us, and Father, we would respond to that. And we ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.